already. Good shalom. And kind of a little bit on our Torah reading today. The message I am going to give is called You Reap What You Sow. So, talking about the land and the different, like you said, the wine, the grain, the oil, and the wine. You reap what you sow. I'd like to start in Galatians, the 6th chapter. Because this is one of the most basic principles in Scripture and one of the most basic principles in life. And I think sometimes, in general, people forget it because they don't want to think about what actions bring. And I think sometimes in the congregation with believers, somehow they think on some kind of mystical form that if you're a believer in Yahweh, that just everything works out okay. That all of a sudden you don't reap what you sow. Even going on mission trips, you know, when I take people that are coming for the first time, and I try to explain to them about, making sure you get proper rest, and you got to make sure you don't get sick. Somehow people think, well, if I'm doing this for Yahweh, I won't get sick, or I won't get tired, or somehow He'll do miracles. And it doesn't work that way. You know, Yahweh, at times He does intervene in the human realm when things are affecting, you know, His overall plan or His covenant. But most of the time in life, He allows us to reap what we sow. Because it's not only a biblical principle, it's not only the way we learn, but also it's the way we grow. And it's justice. It wouldn't be justice if Yahweh didn't allow to reap what we sow. So I'm going to start in Galatians 6 and verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man may sow, that he will also reap." And like we were saying last night in the Bible study, if the false grace of Christianity was true, then Yahweh would be mocked. Then people that were doing all these evil things, there wouldn't be punishment for it. And that wouldn't be justice. It absolutely wouldn't be justice at all. And that's why, Yahweh's judicial order is one of the most important things in Scripture, because it's Yahweh's order of justice. It's how justice is performed. And it's something, it's like gravity. You know, if you drop something, it's going to go down. It's not going to go down 9 times and 1 time float up in the air, you know, unless maybe you're in outer space where there's no gravity. But Yahweh makes laws of nature, and these laws always work. So you reap what you sow. It's, like I say, a basic principle. Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever man may sow, that he will reap. For the one sowing to the flesh will reap corruption to the flesh, like we were reading last night. But the one sowing to the Spirit will reap everlasting life from the Spirit. The wages of sin are death. The gift of Yahweh is eternal life. And let us not be weary now that we are working for good, for in the season of reaping we will not faint. And it's an important lesson I'll mention a couple of times as we're going through here, that you reap what you sow. So there's a sowing period and there's a reaping period. And I think today in the fast-paced world, people want to cut out the sowing period to the reaping period. You know, like I said, we plant the gardens, and what happens? We plant a seed in the ground, and we have to water it, and we have to wait, and then you get a little big thing coming out, and you get all excited, but it's still months until that becomes big. And then even like our eggplant that finally, you know, went the way of the wind now, it was 6 months, and the plant kept growing, but no eggplant were coming out of it. So what good is if you sow something that you're not able to reap? But in Yahweh's kingdom, we have to realize in our spiritual IRA or a spiritual retirement funds, we can't grow weary in well-doing. Because what we're sowing in the world, yeah, you know, you could sow a whole field out here, like Little House on the Prairie, and one storm can destroy it, and you can get very discouraged because you get nothing for it. But in Yahweh's kingdom, whatever you do sow, if it's spiritual seeds, there will be reaping, there will be reward for it. So we don't want to grow faint in well-doing when it comes to that. Job, the 4th chapter, in verse 8 says, "As I have seen, the ones who plow iniquity and sow misery reap the same." As I have seen, the ones who plow iniquity and sow misery reap the same. So again, you reap what you sow. And in life, it's a principle. And there's a principle in life that, or scripture, that says, "He who has many friends must show himself friendly." And sometimes people will say, "Oh, nobody likes me. Why doesn't anybody want to be around me?" And, well, you're reaping what you're sowing. You know, a man that has many friends must show himself friendly. Meaningly, if you're outgoing, and you're giving out a spirit of love, it's going to come back to you. But if you're always negative and gossiping and doing, you know, who wants to be around that? And then you can't blame people who don't want to be around you because of your personality. So you reap what you sow. And I think it's a great thing because it's Yahweh's justice. It's Yahweh's judicial order. That if you're doing good, then good will come back to you one way or another. It may take time, but it will. But if you're doing evil, then don't think good is going to come back to you because it simply won't. This is Yahweh's justice, Yahweh's judicial order. And it always is the same. You can't plant tomatoes and have eggplant come up. You know, you can't plant potatoes and think watermelon's going to come up. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So that's the point. When I put watermelon seeds in, watermelon is going to come up. So what seeds are we planting? The seeds we plant, if we plant seeds of love, of honesty, of justice, this is what's going to come back to us. Proverbs 22 and verse 8 says, "He who sows injustice will reap evil, and the rod of his wrath shall fail." Why is Yeshua coming back? He's coming back for justice. He says there's a fire that's being burned on the earth. And what is it to me if it's already lit? Yeshua didn't light the fire, you know. But he certainly isn't coming to put it out. We know that from the lake of fire. The fire will not go out till everything that is wicked and evil is burned up. So like it says here, "He who sows injustice will reap evil, and the rod of his wrath shall fail." Proverbs 11:18 says, "The wicked makes a deceitful wage, but one sowing righteousness has a reward of truth." The wicked makes a deceitful wage, but the one sowing righteousness has a reward of truth. And we know we're living in Satan's society. We know the United States dollar is, at least now, it's falling away, but it has been the reserve currency of the world since this end time started. It has the New World Order all-seeing eye and pyramid on it. Because it's Satan's, you know? The whole money system of debt is Satan's. So he can have it. So granted, your Rothschilds and all the different people in this world that have all this money, they have all these things, but they're reaping what they're sowing. So it may not seem like it now because they control a lot of things with their money, but if we go to Habakkuk, the first chapter, he tells us about this. That, like I said, sometimes we need to have patience with Yahweh's justice. Habakkuk 1:1 says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Yahweh, until when shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence," and the word is Hamas, "but you do not save. Why do you make me see evil, and you look upon toil? For destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention rises up. On account of this, the Torah has become helpless, and justice does not continuously go forth. For the wicked surrounds the righteous, so justice goes forth being perverted." So this is what Habakkuk is saying. What's going on? It's not working. Why is it going this way? But look what Yahweh says. Yahweh says, "Look among the nations and behold and be amazed. Be amazed, for a work is working in your days, which you will not believe though it be told to you." So Yahweh's saying, just have patience, just wait. Because in the end, Yahweh's justice will come forth. It's always going to be that way. But we have to sow in patience to reap in joy. We have to sow in patience to reap in joy. Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19, 16. It says, "If a vicious witness rises up against any man to charge apostasy against him, then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before Yahweh, before the priests and the judges who shall be in those days. And the judges shall carefully investigate, and behold, if the witness is a false witness and he has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he has plotted to do to his brother. And you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and thereafter shall not add to commit any such evil among you. And your eye shall not pity. Life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. You reap what you sow." So literally, we had this situation come up not that long ago, where in one of our congregations in the nations, somebody came up and they made a false accusation against an elder. And of course, what happens? You have to have an investigation. You have to bring witnesses. You have to have judicial order take its course? And it did. And what happens? When the judicial order takes its course and all the elders came together, the person who made the accusations never even showed up to bring it out. And then later, the man disappeared for about a month, and then all of a sudden he shows up on the Sabbath with his hand out to the elder that he falsely accused, and let's forget about it, everything is fine. I said, no, that's not the way it works in the congregation of Yahweh. We just read something here. You make a false accusation against anybody, particularly an elder, then you're going to be brought to justice. And the same thing that you tried to accuse him of is going to happen to you. That's exactly what the Torah says. That's justice. To just let somebody go off and shake his hand and say that's the end of it, you know what's going to happen? That person's going to do it again. And again and again and again. And that's why we don't have to fear Yahweh's justice. Yahweh's justice is that it works for everybody. It works for everybody. And to the evil person, they get taken care of. The story that comes to mind here is the story in the Bible of Haman, right? Haman in the book of Esther. His jealousy from Mordecai, and oh, how much pride. Mordecai won't bow before me. And what did he do? He made the gallows for Mordecai to hang in, and he winds up hanging in the gallows himself. You reap what you sow. And that's, if you have faith, this is such a great faith-building process, because it doesn't matter. I said this before, in my life, I've been falsely accused, I've had things, and it never mattered to me. I'll stand up for the truth, but you know the only thing that matters, I always say? That Yahweh knows. That Yahweh knows. It doesn't matter if you get put in prison falsely. It doesn't make a difference. You know why? Because as long as you're on the right side of justice, you got nothing to fear. It's like Joseph, right, in the Bible. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. Joseph is sold by his brothers. He almost was killed. And then they sell him down into Egypt, into slavery. You know, then he's doing really good for his overseer Potiphar. He gets falsely accused again by Potiphar's wife. And then what happens in the end? He finds out Yahweh was in everything. And Yahweh was there, and he was purifying Joseph through all the things he's going through. But through patience, what happened? Joseph, in the end, he reaped what he sowed. Through reaping seed of patience, Joseph, in the end, saved the nation. Became second to Pharaoh, you know. And Israel is what they became as a nation because of him. So like I say, we need to have that faith. We need to understand on all ends, you reap what you sow. If you're doing evil, you're going to realize you're going to pay for it. You know, Yahweh will not be mocked. But if you're doing good and you think that your bad is coming to you, don't worry. Just have patience, because in the end, we reap what we sow. Because there's one, like it says about in the book of Jacob, not judging our brother. Why does it say that? Because it says there's one lawgiver and there was one judge. And if you're on the right side of justice, then Yahweh will reward you in due time. I want to go to another story in Genesis 25. Because like I said, spiritually and physically, this is the way it works. You know, there's people that come in the congregation, and they may have, before they became a believer, they may have had lives that were sinful. And maybe they wound up even getting AIDS or something that's horrible. Now you come in the congregation, you repent of your sins, you're baptized in the name of Yeshua, and those sins are forgiven. Absolutely forgiven. They're paid for. But you know what? The penalty of it doesn't necessarily disappear. It doesn't mean the AIDS is going to disappear. It doesn't mean if you were smoking for 40 years and now you come into the truth, that all of a sudden the cancer is just going to leave your body. It could. I've had it happen. I've prayed for people that were healed of it. But those are very rare circumstances. Most of the time, Yahweh is going to allow us to reap what we sow. And if you're going through life and you're smoking your whole life and you're causing cancer to your body, there's a good chance Yahweh is going to allow you to pay the consequences of it. Doesn't mean your eternal life is lost because you repented of it, you know, but you're still physically going to reap what you sow. And I'm going to read this chapter here because this is exactly what we see what happened in the Bible. Good old story we read a couple of weeks ago with Esau and Jacob. Genesis 25 and verse 25 and 26. And the first came out, and all of him red like a hairy robe. I guess we know which one is that. And they called his name Esau. And afterwards his brother came out, and his hand was holding on to the heel of Esau, and his name was called Yaakov, or Jacob. And Isaac was a son of 60 years when he was born. Now, when you look in the Bible, everybody's name has meaning. And the theory that comes up, sometimes in Judaism, is what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, are these stories, of course they're true stories, they really happen, but are these the real people's names? Or are these names they put to magnify the story? You know, are they putting the name of all these people? Because it just so happens, every single person that's named, their name fits exactly what they're doing. And I think that's their names. I think that Yahweh knows the beginning from the end, and I think he names these people because what either they did or what they're going to do. We do see that Yaakov, the supplanter or the deceiver, does become Israel, the one who overcame with El. But it was a process. It was a process. But again, you reap what you sow. So now let's look at this situation. Let's go down to chapter 27. And let's read about what happens when Jacob, the supplanter, is going to deceive his father. And we've talked about this before. There was good reason for it. Now, I've said this, that Jacob, he did rightfully get the birthright. It was his. The blessing belonged to him. So Rebekah knew it. So wanting the blessing wasn't the problem. The problem was, what was his motives really the right way? Could he have done it another way? Because we're going to see that from this story, there were some repercussions that came from it, because you reap what you sow. So starting in verse 6, Rebekah spoke to her son Yaakov, saying, "Behold, I heard your father speaking to your brother Esau, saying, bring game to me and make delicious meat that I may eat, and I will bless you before Yahweh before my death. And now, my son, hear my voice, which I command you." This is Rebekah telling Yaakov. "Go now to the flock and bring me from the two kids of the goats, and I will make them into delicious things for your father, which he loves. And you shall bring it to your father and let him eat, so that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I a smooth man." Too bad Eliyahu wasn't around, right? He was also a hairy man. "Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall be like a deceiver." That's what his name means, supplanter or deceiver, "in his eyes. And I shall bring a curse on me and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only listen to my voice and go and take from me." So people could say, hey, well, it also says honor your father and mother. Is he obeying the commandment or shouldn't he have done it? I'll leave that up to the people to decide. But at the same rate, you are going to reap what you sow. And his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only listen to my voice and take from me." And he went and took and came up to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took the clothing of her elder son Esau, the costly ones which were with her in the house, and she dressed her younger son Yaakov. And she put the skin of the goats on the goat, the skin of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smoothness of his neck. And she put the savory meat and the bread which she had made in the hand of her son Yaakov. And he went into her father, and he went into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "I am here. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am your firstborn, Esau. I have done as you said to me. Rise up now, sit and eat my gain, so that your soul may bless me." So now it's really interesting, because when we look at what happens later, I want to focus on one verse here, verse 16. "She put the skins of the kids of the goat on his hands and on the smoothness of his neck." So he was deceiving his father by the flesh or the skins of the goat. Now we go to Genesis 37, and we see that with Joseph, his most beloved son, as we know, look what happens. Genesis 37, verse 31. "And they took Joseph's long robe and killed a ram of the goats and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the long robe reaching to the feet, and they took it to their father and said, 'We have found this. Now look, is it not your son's robe?' And he knew it and said, 'My son's robe, an evil beast has eaten him. Surely Joseph is torn to pieces.' And Jacob tore his clothing and put sackcloth on his loins, and he mourned many days for his son." So now we're not talking about the right of the birthright, right? We're talking about his method. He deceived his father, right, through the flesh of a goat, through the skins. Now what happens to him? He's deceived the same way. He's deceived through the robe of Joseph, through a garment, and also through the blood now of the goat. He deceives his father through the skin of the goat. He's deceived through the blood of a goat. Both deceiving by a garment. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Now let's go back to the story again. Let's go back to Genesis 27 and verse 19. "And Jacob said to his father, 'I am your firstborn Esau. I have done as you have said to me. Rise up now, sit and eat my gain, so your soul may bless me.'" So now what's the second deception he does? He makes believe he's his brother, right, to deceive the father. Now let's go to Genesis 29 and verse 21. And Jacob came, said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are completed, and let her go into me." And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. And it happened in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and he went into her. And Laban gave to her Zilpah, his slave girl, to his daughter Leah as a slave. And it happened in the morning, behold, she was Leah. Remember, he worked 7 years for Rachel, but this is Leah. And he said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? And why have you tricked me?" And Laban said, "It is not done this way in our place to give the younger before the firstborn." So here it is. He tricks his father by making believe he's his brother, and then he gets tricked by Leah making believe she's his her sister. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So literally now, like I said, all of the things of was he right or wrong, did he listen to them, those are all other things to come in. The only point I'm trying to make in this message is showing that you reap what you sow. So we want to be careful, because sometimes, even when you're doing something for the right reason, if it violates a principle of Yahweh, you're going to reap what you sow. King David had it happen to him. How many times, you know, did he have things happen to him? Because he reaped what he sowed. You know, and here is a man after Yahweh's own heart. But when he did things that violated Yahweh's judicial order, you're going to reap what you sow. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. It says, "To all there is an appointed time, even a time for every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant or sow, and a time to pull up what is planted. Time to reap." So we see that there's a time for everything. And that's why I say that now, you know, when you come to faith, you know, things don't happen immediately. In the world we live in, everybody wants everything immediately, you know, no matter what it is. But things take time, you know. If somebody's going to be a doctor, you don't just wake up one day and say, "I'm going to be a doctor," and start cutting somebody up. No, you go to 4 years, you know, first you go to your, you know, 18 years of your normal school, then you go to 4 years of your college school, then you go to graduate school, and then you go to med school. It takes time. And even when you're done, you just don't come out and start cutting people up. Then you become an intern and you start working with somebody else that's showing you. So we're living in a world where people don't want that. They don't want to take the time it takes. But as believers, the whole reason why Yahweh has us go through what we go through is because we need to learn. We need to grow in character. And that's not something that happens immediately. And he allows us to go through trials, and he allows us to reap what we sow, so that we see that, uh-oh, you know what? I did this, and I didn't get a result I like. I want to do this, and I want to get a good result. That's why giving testimonies every week is so great. Because when we give testimonies each other, and we see that when we did show the character, and we did the right thing, even though it took time, in the end, we see the good results that come. Because in the end, we're going to reap what we sow. So, the question I ask now is, what time are we in? If there's a time for everything, what time are we in? Revelation 14, and verse 14. Revelation 14, and verse 14. It says, "And I saw, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud one sitting like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another cherub went forth out of the sanctuary, crying with a great voice to the one sitting on the cloud, 'Send your sickle and reap.'" Not so, but reap. "Because your hour to reap came, because the harvest of the earth was dried." So it's kind of interesting. You know, if you're a grower, and all of a sudden you see that your crop is getting some kind of disease to your crop, even if it might not be exactly ready yet, you may harvest that crop early because you figure, "I want to get some before I lose everything." And that's what he's saying here. He's reaping, like it says in the end, "Unless the Father cut those days short, no flesh would be saved alive." So he says he's reaping because the earth was dry. That there was nothing left. The harvest is dying, so he's coming to reap. "And the one sitting on the cloud thrust his sickle to the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another cherub went forth out of the sanctuary in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another cherub went forth from the altar, having authority over the fire. And he spoke with a great cry to the one having the sharp sickle, saying, 'Send your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, because its grapes are ripened.' And the cherub thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw into the winepress of the great anger of Yahweh. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood went out of the winepress as far as the bridles of the horses from 1,600 furlongs. That's 180 miles, about 300 kilometers, by 4.5 feet high. That's a lot of blood. A lot of blood. But in the end time, that's what it is. We're in a time of reaping in the end time. We're not in a time of sowing. Matthew 13. Verse 18. Matthew 13 and verse 18. It says, but hear the parable of the seed. Everyone hearing the word of the kingdom and not understanding, then the evil one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is that sown by the roadside. And that sown on the stony place is this one, the one hearing the word and immediately receiving it with joy. But he has no root, but it is temporal. And when trouble or persecution comes, he is quickly offended because of the word. And that sown into the thorn bushes is this one, hearing the word and the cares of this world and the deceit of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But that sown on the good ground is this one, the one hearing the word and understanding it, and indeed he bears and yields fruit. One truly 100, 160, 130. He put before them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man sowing good seed in the fields. But when the men were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprouted and produced fruit, then the tare also appeared. And coming near, the slave of the housemaster said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then from where does it have tares? And he said to them, a man, an enemy, did this. And the slave said to him, do you desire then that going out we should gather them? But he said, no, lest gathering the tares, you should uproot the wheat with them. But allow both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granary. And if we drop down to verse 36, then sending away the crowds, Yeshua came into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said to him, the one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the cherubs are the reapers. Then as the tares are gathered and are consumed in the fire, so it will be in the completion of this age. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs, and they will gather out of his kingdom, and all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine out like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one having ears to hear, let him hear. So we see here that the same thing. We're in the time. The end time is the time of reaping. It's not the time of sowing. It's the time of reaping. And we see that Satan has sown seeds. Yahweh has sown seeds, and like it says, you let them grow until the end. But now in the end, it becomes manifest. And I think that's why a lot of the problems sometimes we go through is because we're seeing the manifestation of the wheat and the tare come together. But one of the things we need to do as true believers is we need to be able to differentiate between the difference of the wheat and the tare. Who is the wheat and who is the tare? And disregard the tare and not the wheat. But clearly, the end time is the time of reaping. It's not the time of sowing. Let's go to Jeremiah 50. Interesting scripture about Babylon in the end time. When we're talking about sowing and reaping. Jeremiah 50 in verse 14. Says, put yourself in order against Babylon all around. All you who tread a bow, shoot at her. Do not spare arrows, for she has sinned against Yahweh. Shout against her all around. She has given her hand. Her foundations have fallen. Her walls have been thrown down. 9/11, right? For it is the vengeance of Yahweh. Take vengeance on her as she has done due to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon and the one handling the sickle in the time of harvest. So the reaper and the sower are both cut off. They shall turn from a sword of the oppressor, each one to his people, and they shall flee each one to his own land. So in the end time, the sower and the reaper are cut off from Babylon, because each one is fleeing because of the destruction that's coming there. So my next question is, if it is the time for reaping, what have you sown? If it's the time for reaping in the end time, what have you sown? Because like we said, if you sow tomatoes, you're not going to get watermelons. If you sow cucumbers, you're not going to get onions. You reap what you sow. So now that we're coming to the harvest, what have you sown? Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. Starting in verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11, starting in verse 1. It says, "Send out your bread on the face of the waters, for in many days you shall find it. Give a share to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what evil may be on the earth." So literally, Yahweh is saying, put out everything. You know, when we left the church organization many, many moons ago, and we realized the whole point of spectator Christian is not in Scripture, but everybody needs to have a ministry. Everybody has spiritual gifts. Everybody should be using them. This is one of the Scriptures that motivated me. Because you say, well, what should I do? What should I try? And I looked at the Scripture and said, try everything and see what sticks. You know, we went on radio, we went on TV, we put out tracts, we went out to homeless places, you know, helping homeless people. We went to volunteer at places that help people that don't have food, you know, food shelters. We did just about everything. You know, you name it, we did it. And then you see what's bearing fruit and you collect it more. And the ones that aren't bearing fruit, you let go by the wayside. It said, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty on the earth. And if the tree falls in the south or in the north, in the place where it falls, there it shall be. What is he talking about? He's talking about you reap what you sow. It's part of nature. There's things that are part of nature, and you reap what you sow. He who watches the wind shall not sow, and he who looks at the clouds shall not reap. And that's why I say, is we're heading into the end time now. If you reap what you sow, what happens if you didn't sow? There's nothing to reap, you know? If you're watching the clouds, the people that are the chatterers, the talkers, and aren't going there and putting any seeds in the ground, what do you got to reap in the end time? There'll be nothing there. Sow your seed in the morning and do not rest your hand until evening, for you do not know what shall be blessed, this or that, or whether they both shall be good as one, just like I was just saying. So here it is. It's a great principle that we go by. We should have sown as many seeds as possible, as we don't know which ones are going to come up. You have no idea. But woe to the person that hasn't sown any, as we're going to see. He's got some trouble coming. Hosea 10. Hosea 10 and verse 12. Hosea 10 and verse 12 says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap as kindness. Break up your fallow ground, your dry ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh until he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity." If you plow wickedness, you'll reap iniquity. "You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your way in the multitude of your mighty warriors." It say this a lot to the nation of Israel today. You reap what you sow. Israel cannot go out there and have the high abortion rate that they have in this country, of going out there allowing homosexuality and be proud of it. They're a democracy, the only democracy in the Middle East, that they're allowing these abominations in the land, and think that Yahweh is going to protect them when their neighbors come around them. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, you're blessed when you obey the Torah, you're cursed when you break the Torah. You reap what you sow. It's that simple. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter, you know, although when you're in covenant relationship, yes, there's more accountability. But no matter who you are on the earth, you're going to reap what you sow. It is a law of nature that Yahweh puts in there. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 6. Says, "But remember this, the one sowing sparingly will also reap sparingly." Like I said, if you only got one plant out there, all of a sudden when the harvest time comes, plant Plants aren't going to be falling out of the heaven. It's not going to rain watermelons. Praise Yahweh. You know, we talk about 100-pound hailstones. You don't want 100-pound watermelons coming down and hitting you. But you reap what you sow. Remember, the one sowing sparingly will reap sparingly. And the one sowing generously will reap generously. Each one as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. You reap what you sow. And Elohim is able to make all grace to abound toward you, that in everything, always having all self-sufficiently, that you may abound to every good work. And I know when we first left the States and we had very, very little mammon to ourselves, one of the promises I banked on was, because we always helped the poor, we had homeless ministries, and it said, he who helps the poor will never himself there be poor. And I took Yahweh to task on that, to say, Yahweh, hey, my whole life, I did it. I did exactly what you said. Now we need your faith. We need your help. And he always provided. He always took care of that because you reap what you sow. Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And Elohim is able to make all grace to abound toward you, that in everything, always having all self-sufficiency, you may abound to every good work. Even as it has been written, he has distributed liberally a lot. He has given to the poor. His righteousness abides forever. Now he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for eating, may he supply and multiply your seed and increase the fruits of your righteousness. But you have to have the seeds out there in order for him to increase it. In everything, you being enriched in all sincerity, which works out thanksgiving to Yahweh through us. Because the ministry of this service is not only making up the things lacking of the saints, but also multiplying through many thanksgiving to Yahweh. Through the proof of this charitable service, they glorify Yahweh by your freely expressed submission to the good news of Messiah, and through your generosity, you have become partakers with them and with all men. And they offer prayer on your behalf with greater love because of the overflowing grace of Elohim which is on you. But thanks be to Elohim for his unspeakable free gift. Is your heart with the kingdom of Yahweh or the world? Very clearly he's showing here. You sow spiritual seeds of his kingdom, and he's going to give it bountifully. But we're going to reap what we sow. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Psalm 126 and verse 5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. And what I said, you have to have patience sometimes. Those who sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. Surely he who walks and weeps, bearing a bag of seed, shall come again with joyful shouting, bearing his sheaves. The song that comes, bringing in the sheaves. That's what he's saying here. You have, surely he who walks and weeps, bearing a bag of seed, shall come again with joyful shouting, bearing his sheaves. So, through discipline and diligence and joyful endurance, what happens? Yahweh allows us to reap the harvest that he has in the end time. And how good it feels, doesn't it? I don't think there's ever a better feeling in the world when you can help somebody. Yahweh can allow us, can bless us to allow us to help somebody come to faith. Like I say, for me, I get roughly around 400 letters a month, and the most, they're all joyful, but the most joyful are brand new people that say, through the website or through the book or something, that they were just in the world, they're doing whatever, and somehow they got this material, and now they've come to faith. Praise Yahweh. You know, that he's allowing the seeds that you're putting to bear fruit. You know, that you're seeing lives are being changed and people are turning. Matthew 19 and verse 27. Matthew 19 and verse 27. Says, then answering, Peter said to him, behold, we left all things and followed you. What indeed will we have? And Yeshua said to him, truly I say to you, you who have followed me in this world, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you also will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Boy, talk about a reward. And everyone who left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for the sake of my name shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So there's nothing that you are sacrificing now for your spiritual IRA, your spiritual retirement, that is not going to be given 100-fold by Yahweh. That's his promise. That's what he says. But where is our heart? Is it with the world or is it with the kingdom of Yahweh? We got these last few years that are coming here. One of the saddest things I ever remember was a man said to me many, many years ago. He was at a feast one time that we had when I was still living in the States. And he said, you know something? He said, I really admire what you're doing. I really support it. And he had two girls. I think they were around 7 and 9 years old. Really nice family. And he said, yeah, he said, someday in about 20 years when my girls are grown, he said, then I think I'd like to get involved with the work too. I thought, wow, what a sad thing. You know, the man who took down his barn to build bigger barns, right? And what did Yahweh say? Little did he know his life would be taken that night. So you never know. Every day we have is a gift from Yahweh. There is no promise in the flesh that we're going to have years and years and years to come. Or the other thing is, like I say, how do you know that if you put off the work of Yahweh, that you're not quenching his spirit and he's not going to take it away from you? So there are no guarantees. The only guarantee is when you're putting your heart, your soul, and your mind and your strength into Yahweh every day of your life. Then you're guaranteed. Then you're guaranteed not only to sow good fruit, but to reap and also have that relationship to Yahweh. But we're playing with Russian roulette when we put Yahweh off for absolutely anything in this world. It doesn't matter. Matthew 25 in verse 13. Therefore, be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. You know? Man is saying 20 years down the line, you know? Who knows? Who knows? Be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. And now he gives this parable. For it is like a man who went on a journey. He called his servants and delivered his possessions to them. And to one indeed he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And he went immediately on his journey. And going, the one who received 5 talents worked with them and made another 5 talents. In the same way, the one with the 2 also did. He also gained another 2. But going away, the one who received the 1 dug in the earth and hid his master's silver. And after much time, the master of those slaves came and took account with them. And coming up, the one who received 5 talents brought another 5 talents near, saying, Master, you delivered 5 talents to me. Behold, I gained another 5 talents above them. And his master said, well done. You're going to reap what you sow, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who received 2 talents, also coming up, he said, Master, you delivered 2 talents to me. Behold, I have gained 2 more talents above them. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many. You're going to reap what you sow. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who received the 1 talent, also coming up, he said, Master, I knew you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter. And being afraid going away, I hid your talent in the earth. Behold, you have yours. And answering his master said to him, evil and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and I gather where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have put my silver to the bankers, and coming I would have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to each who has, more will be given, and he will abound. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. So again, you're going to reap what you sow. So the more you sow, the more you're going to get. If you only got 1 little plant and you're not caring for it and it dies, even the little you have will be taken away. And throw the worthless slave out in the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are rewarded for the fruit we bear. It's pretty simple. And again, fruit does not just happen. Fruit takes patience. Fruit takes endurance. And anybody who's ever planted gardens or fields or even works in it, you know it is a hard job. It's a hard, hard job getting the ground ready. It's a hard, hard job putting the seeds down. It's a hard, hard job making sure you fertilize, you water, you watch it day and night. And then you have to depend on Yahweh to give the rain and the blessing and then harvesting. And it's not easy, but it takes endurance. It takes patience. And that's why the Bible says, he who endures to the end, the same will be saved. We're living in a time where, you know why people, the Laodicean, he doesn't want to endure. He wants it immediately. It's a prideful, selfish way. People don't want to take the time to learn the truth. They want to immediately take positions that were never given to them. It's just the time we're living in, the wheat and the tares. And like I say, it's coming together. And the reason why the Laodicean hates that term judicial order, and they want to get rid of it, is because they know in Yahweh's eyes, you reap what you sow. And they know that when the time comes, when judgment day comes, what they sowed is what they're going to reap. And Yahweh's coming for them for judgment. So they want that term eradicated. They want nothing to do with it, because they don't want to get the judgment that's coming on them, because they didn't reap sowed of righteousness. They didn't sow seeds of righteousness, I should say. So they're not going to reap seeds of righteousness or fruit of righteousness. Joel 2 and verse 23. Joel 2 and verse 23 says, "Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness. And he will cause the rain to come down on you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month." And like we said, the growing season is really, really interesting in Israel. It's all throughout the Bible. You plant your seeds right after Sukkot. That's when the end of the year comes, the agricultural year. And you plant your seeds, and then you have to pray for that early rain. Because without the early rain, those seeds will lay there. And the birds will eat them. Nothing will happen. You need the rain to germinate the seed into grass. And then it's going to stay there. It's going to stay dormant there. And in the winter, you get rain to make it come up. But unless you get the latter rain, it's never going to come to fruition. That happened this year. We didn't get the latter rain. And all of the fields out here, they all wound up going to hay. They wound up going to hay because we had such little rain. So you need the early rain and you need the latter rain. And that's why there's got to be patience during this whole process. But you know what? We talk a lot about the early rain and the latter rain. But if you didn't plant anything, what good is either of them to you? If you have no seeds in the ground, then it really don't matter if the early rain or latter rain comes or doesn't come, because you have nothing there to reap. There's nothing to reap. How many people, how many brethren, how sad is it that they have nothing to reap in their life? Because the only seeds they've sown are seeds of unrighteousness, seeds of gossip, you know, seeds of toil, seeds of destruction, seeds of division. They're not sowing seeds of love. They're not sowing seeds of harmony, seeds of unity. But in the end, you're going to reap what you sow. But you know something? I know, because again, this message will go out to the brethren, and there's new brethren, there's old brethren. Yahweh is so awesome, because Yahweh is a redeemer. And like it says in Ezekiel 18, the soul that sins it will die, but yet Yahweh says, he doesn't. He says the person who's righteous his whole life, and then he goes away at the end, he'll lose his eternal life. And the person who's unrighteous his whole life, and then comes at the end, he'll gain eternal life. And then Yahweh says, you say this is unfair. But it's not unfair. All Yahweh wants is people to come to salvation. That's what he says. It's his desire that no one will be lost, but we have free will. And unfortunately, many people choose to be lost. But in Yahweh's unbelievable mercy and grace, and like we said, his grace is his not only his unmerited forgiveness, but the time he gives us to get right with him and repent, that there's not immediate judgment. Also, one of the great things in Yahweh's kingdom is that Yahweh makes it for even the person that's watching this now, that may have been 20 years in the faith and is sweating and thinking, wow, what am I going to do? I didn't plant any seeds and now it's time to reap. What am I going to do? Am I lost? Or the new person who's just coming to the faith that says, well, if it's the time for reaping, what am I going to do? I can't sow it. So I want to read a really encouraging scripture that I want to end with. And it's John 4 and verse 35. Starting in verse 34. Yeshua said to him, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me, and that he may finish his work. Great scripture. That's Yeshua's food. That's what we should all be saying. Our food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Do not say there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields that are white and have ripened for the harvest already. And he that reaps receives a wage and gathers fruit for eternal life. And the sower and the reaper rejoice together. Now here's the encouraging scripture. For in this the word is true, that another is the one sowing and another the one reaping. I sent you to reap what you have not labored over. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. You see, in the kingdom of Yahweh, there is no competition. It's not like the world. In each of us, we're not looking to gather up all that's mine. We're looking to share with each other. And we have a ministry here now. And in this ministry and through the website that we have, we I mean, it's unbelievable. The message is going out to the world. We have 21 Bible lessons. We have tracts. We have all the remnants walks. We have 100 and something sermons. We have everything that we've already sown for everybody. All they have to do is become part of the reapers. Don't say there's 4 months left to the harvest, because I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, the harvest is white and the workers are few. I'm not here trying to say I want to finish everything. I don't want to do nothing. I want to only do what Yahweh has put in my hand. And I am the first person to say, come and be part of this great work that Yahweh is giving us. Because even if you didn't sow, we've already sown it, and we want to share what we've sown with you. We want to share what we've done. And all of it is just there. So like he says, I sent you to reap what you have not labored over. Others have labored, and you had entered into their labor. So that's the great part. Even if you've been a believer for 20 years and did nothing, you can change today. If you're brand new and you don't know what to do, here it is, Matthew 24 Project. The Matthew 24 Project. Everything is there for all of us to get in involved. You know why? Because collectively we're the body of Messiah. And when Messiah comes, we're all going to gather and we're all going to reap what we've been sowing in our life. So like I said, I look at this and it's so awesome that Yahweh does have judicial order. He does have justice. And we do reap what we sow. And like I said, the fact that even when we repent, it doesn't take away the scars, like I call them. You know, Yahweh may allow you. The Apostle Paul, 3 times he prayed to the Father, and he said, my grace be sufficient for you. And that's fine. Because you know what? In this flesh, it don't make a difference. If you have to go through something, a burden in the flesh, for your whole life, so be it. If it brings you closer to Yahweh. But in the end, when we're looking at the spiritual side, wow, that we, since we do reap what we sow, and we are going to be rewarded on the spiritual fruit we have, praise Yahweh that in this end time, he has restored a congregation here in Israel. Praise Yahweh that we do have a foundation that every single person in the world can be part of. You know, if Yahweh calls you, that's up to him. That we have everything there. You can simply go on the website. You can download the information wherever you live in the world. That you can go out there and you can bear fruit. So, very encouraging. And very true, very simplistic concept, but one of the most important in our life. You reap what you sow. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.